Can people hear me speaking? Yes? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So the din is that if a person is sitting in sukkah, we don't require, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah, you don't require that his whole body should be in the sukkah. The Gemara says if Rosh HaVeruba is the sukkah, that's considered as if he's in the sukkah. Rosh HaVeruba is enough. Here by Leida, both by behemoths and by human beings, the Gemara quotes Mishnayos that it depends on Rosho or Rubo coming out from the Rechem. If Rosho comes out, even though Rova of the body is still inside the Rechem, so the behemoth is called Yolud, Nafkamina for Ben Pekua, if you shech the behemoth, a female behemoth, and it's pregnant, and it's a behemoth Torah, so the Shechita is chal not only on the mother, Shechita is chal on the Uber as well, and the Uber, I mean, I told you, the Uber doesn't need any Shechita at all. So that's if Rosho, but if Rosho or Rubo of the Uber already left the Rechem Ha'im, then it's considered the whole Vlad is Yolud. If the Uber sticks out a leg, so that leg is also Bachila. Even if it pulled back the leg before you shech the mother, still, Kimish Yotza Basa Chutzlum Chitzasa, the Mechitz is the Rechem Ha'im, so it's Nesar. But the rest of the Uber would be Nita Veshchita Sima. But once the Uber is Yolud, then the Shechita on the mother is not Chal on Uber at all. So the Mishnah say either if the Rov of the Vlad came out from the Rechem, or the Rosh came out. So that's either Rosho or Rubo. So here Shmuel has a Chiddush, which we don't accept. I would have said like Shmuel, but they didn't ask for my opinion. I would have voted like Shmuel. Shmuel says that Rosho is considered Yolud if it's a Bar Kayoma, if the Vlad is alive. So once the Rosh came out, the rest of the delivery of the Vlad is going to be smooth sailing. But if other parts of the body came out, you only consider it Yolud. When Rov of the body came out, Ruba Kukulai, then it's considered Yolud. So Shmuel said, if the Uber is a Nefil anyway, it's either Loikola Lachadosha, it's only an 8-month pregnancy in the middle of the 8th month. Kolal Chadoshav has to be into the 9th month. In the days of the Gemara, that was a machlokes, and the psak for many generations was that Yoledes Letisha, Eino Yoledes Limikutsoin, Limikutoin. Somehow in the days of the Gemara, they were working on the assumption that there are two types of pregnancies by people and by behemoths. There's a 7-month pregnancy and there's a 9-month pregnancy. So if a Vlad is born in the 8th month, we have to figure out, is it a post-mature 7-month pregnancy, in which case it's called a lochadosha, or is it a premature 9-month pregnancy, in which case it's considered an nephil. So the Gemara says, how can you tell whether it's post-mature 7-month pregnancy or premature 9-month pregnancy? If you see nigmro sairav itziparnov, if the Vlad, a baby, a human being, if the baby has hair growing on its head and the baby has fingernails that are long already, so then it's a post-mature 7-month pregnancy. And if not, it doesn't have digmar sarabitziparnim, then we assume that it's a premature 9-month pregnancy. In the Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Ritva, it was in the days of the Rishonim. The Ritva says he doesn't know what this is all about. He never heard of such a thing. He doesn't know what it corresponds to. There's such a thing as a 7-month pregnancy. We don't know about that. We just know 9-month pregnancy. So in the days of the Gemara, there was a machlokes, in the days of Rishonim also. But the accepted opinion was, Yoledes Letisha, if it's supposed to be a 9-month pregnancy, any Yoledes Limikutoin, it'll be considered premature unless it's 9 full months, each month having 30 days. The baby has to be born after 9 full months, each month having 30 days. That's neither the Jewish calendar nor the Goyish calendar. The Goyish calendar, every other month has 30 days, every other month has 31 days. The Yiddish calendar, every other month has 29 days, every other month has 30 days. But that's what the Gemara says. It's only considered Yoledes Letisha, if it's 9-month pregnancy, any Yoledes, she's not going to give birth Limukutoin into the 9th month. You have to have 9 full months. by the time the Shulchan Aruch was written, so the Rambam quotes from the Tashbetz, that's a Tshuva Sefer from the late Rishonim early Achronim. So Tashbetz lived in Algeria, so he writes that today the doctors consider it perfectly normal. Once the woman is into the ninth month, that's considered Kala Chadoshev, that's a full-time pregnancy, and the Vlad is not a Sofik Nefel. When would it be a Sofik Nefel if she didn't even enter into the ninth month? Then the Vlad will be considered a Sofik Nefel. A baby is born in the eighth month, so that will be considered a Sofik Nefel up until the time that the child reaches the age of 20. Is a Sofik Nefel. That they put the baby in an incubator, so it's considered as if they put him back into the mother's rechem, and he continues to develop. So the Chazon Ish writes that today, once the hospital and the doctors release the baby and the care of the parents, so it's considered normal. You don't have to wait till the baby is 20 years old. That's considered kol chadoshim. He's not considered a sofik nefel. So Shmuel came up with this chiddush. I would have thought that he's right, but the Gemara has a teyufta against Shmuel. Gemara shows the Mishnah is against him. Shmuel came up with a chiddush that the only time Yotza Rosho, even though it's clearly not Ruba, Yotza Rosho is called Leda, that's if the Vlad is a Bar Kayama. Means that it's already entered into the ninth month and Yotza Rosho alive. But if it's a Ben Ches, even if the baby is still alive, Ben Ches is considered a Nefel. If it's Lakoda Lakhadoshev, the baby was born in the eighth month, it didn't even enter into the ninth month. Or if it did enter the ninth month, it was moving around, but then when it comes out, Yotza Rosho Meis. So when it comes out, the baby's not breathing, it's not alive. So if it's an Eifel, then you don't say, since Yotza Rosho is going to be smooth sailing, the rest of the delivery is going to be fine. No, then you have to have Rubo. It's not considered a Leida until the Roiv of the Vlad comes out. What's the nafkamina here when it gets to Pidyon HaBen? If the baby dies before the Yom Laman Aleph, there's a machlekes later, when do you do Pidyon HaBen? So we pass, can you do Pidyon HaBen on Yom Laman Aleph? So if the baby dies before the Yom Laman Aleph, there is no Pidyon HaBen on a dead baby. If the baby survives till after, till Yom Laman Aleph, and then the baby dies, then the Mishnah says the father has to make a Pidyon HaBen, even though the baby is now dead. This is just is not sure. The Gemara says at the very end of Psachim, the last piece of the Gemara, that when you perform a Pidyon HaBen, you say the bracha al Pidyon HaBen, the Avi HaBen, Baruch Shtayim, the father of the baby says two brachas, first Hashem Kedushanam, the mitzvah of the one al Pidyon HaBen, then he says the bracha Shehechionim. So the Shehechionim is over the mitzvah, like on Rosh Hashanah. We haven't blown shofar since last year Rosh Hashanah, so we're excited. So we say Shehechionim. Nikra Megillah, we say Shechion, because we haven't read the Megillah since last Purim. Say Shechion. Pidyon HaBen doesn't come so often, so the Gemara says, you say Shechion. So the Shechion is over the excitement of the mitzvah, not over the excitement of having a baby. So Tosfos says, Mesupek, but what if it's Nebuch a tragedy? The baby was born alive, and the baby survived till Yom Laman Aleph, and then the baby died. And the father is now fulfilling the mitzvah, Pidyon HaBen, when there's no live baby. So does it still make sense to say Shechion? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Sofik of the Tosfos, and we say, Misofik, Sofik Brachas Lahakta, you don't say the Shechion. So that was Shmuel's suggestion, that if the Vlad is going to turn out to be an Eifel, then Yotza Rosho doesn't help, you have to have Yotza Rubo. If Rav of the Vlad came out of the Rechem of the mother, then we say it's considered Kiyolud. What's the relevance for over here for Pidyon HaBen, it's not relevant. Because even if the woman, Pidyon HaBen depends on Peter Rechem of the mother. So if the first baby that the woman had, the pregnancy didn't even enter into the ninth month. If there was the pregnancy of more than 40 days, something around 43rd or 44th day, so the uber is a very tiny, the fetus is a very tiny thing, something like an inch by an inch, I think, and then it already begins to have tzuras of vlad on the 43rd, 44th day. So if the first vlad was more than a pregnancy of more than 40 days, 45 days or so, and had a tzuris avlad, usually that's when it develops a tzuris avlad, then the next vlad is not considered peter rechem. If the first vlad was less than 40 days, or it was more than 40 days, it didn't have a tzuris avlad, then the Gemara says, it's maya bialma. That's not considered a vlad. Then the next one will be considered a par for the purposes of pidyada. So it's this chiddush of Shmuel that he says, Yotzah, he's talking about a 9-month pregnancy, but Yotzah Rosh HaMeis. So when is it relevant? That's relevant for the par for Pishnayim. The din is that to be considered a par for the purposes of pidyada, then that depends on the mother. Is it Peter Rechem or not? To be considered a pchor for the purposes of Pishnayim, that depends, is it the father's first child? Let's say the man marries a woman who had previously had, gave birth to children by her first husband, but this is the first child that this husband has with the woman, and it's a boy, so then that child will get Pishnayim when the father will die, because it's the firstborn child to the father. So the Gemara that derived from the Pasuk, it says by Pishnayim in the beginning of Parshas Kisei, it's a kihu reishis ono, lo mishpata b'chora. So the Gemara interprets an additional level of interpretation on the word ono. We spoke about it last week. Simple pshat, ono is kocho. That's the first koyach, the first child that he had. The Gemara has an additional, Torah Shabbat has an additional level of interpretation in the pasuk, gracious aninuso. This is the first child. The only time the b'chor gets pishnayim is if this is the first child that the parents will observe Avelus over. Reishis Aninus. Aninus is the beginning of the Avelus, before the Kvura. After the Kvura, it's called Avelus. So, HaBchor HaBor Lachan Ufolim, if the first child was born, let's say a 9-month pregnancy, the first child, and it was still born, or died in delivery, it wasn't alive when it came out of the Rechem Ha'im. So then there's no Avelus. There's only Avelus if a person, someone loses a sibling or a child, Chalila, something like that. So you only observe Avelus if the person was once alive and he passed away. But if he was born dead, he was never born alive in the first place, then one does not observe Avelus. Let's say the baby was born prematurely, so that's, even though the baby is alive for a couple of days, a premature baby is considered an eitel. So one does not observe avelus in such a case. So that's what Shmuel is talking about. If the first blood was yotza, rosho, but not rubo, and then there's a twin in the second, and then the head goes back in and the other blood comes out. So, and then it turns out the first vlad is an eifel. So Shmuel was of the opinion that if the vlad is an eifel, Yotzer Rosha is not considered a leida. So, and the second vlad is a bar kayam. So that's going to be Reishis Aninuso, that the first one didn't have a leida yet. And the first vlad to have a leida was the second one, the bar kayam. So the second one will be the b'chor. The Gemara points out that you have the Mishnah both here when it get to leida by human beings, as well as in the other perek with respect to leida by behemoth, by ben pekua in chulin, the Gemara has the same din by both, that it depends on yotza rosho or rubo, whichever came out first. Yotza rubo kekula, so yotza rubo is called leida, yotza rosho. So the Gemara says, why do you need two mishnayos, one by behemoth and one by odom, that yotza rosho is called leida? So the Gemara says the second svara, that one might have thought that by human beings, the head, the brains, the thought process, the head is more important, much more important than the rest of the body. So one could argue the point, maybe Yotzer Rosh is called Leida by a human being, but by behemoth, the brains are not so important like the rest of the body of the behemoth. So maybe Yotzer Rosh is not called Leida by behemoth, so you wouldn't be able, if the Mishnah would only have the din by Odom, our Mishnah, that Yotzer Rosh is called Leida, I wouldn't know the Yotzer Rosh is called Leida by Behemoth. But if you have the Mishnah by Behemoth, by Ben Pekua, that Yotzer Rosh is Leida, so shouldn't it be a Kavachamah by Odom, that Yotzer Rosh is certainly Leida? So the Gemara says, I would have thought that there's a difference, because by Behemoth, once the Vlad, the Uber, comes out from the Rechem Ho'aim, it's already exposed to the outside air. As Sheni came by Odom, after the Uber leaves the Rechem Haim, it's still inside the mother's body a little bit. So I would have thought that Yotzer Rosh Chutz LeRechem is not called later because the baby still didn't come up. Abe Ho'ilom, because Adam has a prozdor and the Behema doesn't have a prozdor. So Kamash Malon, that it's the same by both. Yotzer Rosh of the baby from the Rechem Ha'im, even though the Vlad is still inside the prozdor, he wasn't yet Yotzer Abe Ho'ilom. That's considered later by the Adam. In fact, there's a strange story in the Erez Ruah. He relates a story. Ozeroa is the end of the Tkuf of the Bali Atosis. Ozeroa, Rabbi Yitzchak Viviana, he was a Talmud of Rabbi Yudha Sirleon. He was the Rebbe of the Maharam Rutenberg, who in turn was the Rebbe of the Rosh and Mordechai, and the Goaz Maimon. At the end of the Tkuf is Bali Atosis. So he relates a story that a woman gave birth to a baby on Shabbos, baby boy on Shabbos, and they performed the Bris Milah on that day. On Shabbat. How can you do that? He's supposed to wait till the Yom HaShemini. If it's a Mila Bizmanan, Yom HaShemini, then it's Derech HaShabbos. The baby's born this Shabbos, so the bris is scheduled for next Shabbos. How can it be? Baby was born this Shabbos, and they did the bris Mila today, this Shabbos. So they say, my Shahaya was that the baby, the women who usually would help deliver the babies, the women claim that last Shabbos, the baby's head was already Yotzer Rosh Chutz LeRechem, but it was still inside the prozdor of the mother. So the baby was already Alpidin, Yolud, last Shabbos. So even though it didn't come out La'Beholim until this Shabbos, today's the Yom HaShemini, and the meal of his man is Decha Shabbos. I don't know, I'm not a doctor, but it seems to me very far-fetched that the baby's head for a week was in the prozdor. It was Yotzer Rosho, Chutz LeRechem, and the baby was in the prozdor. The head was in the prozdor for a week, and the baby didn't suffocate, it didn't die. And then it came out Lav Ha'olam today, so today's the Yom HaShemini. But that's what they called the Erez Ruah, has such a story. And he says that they did the Bris Milah on Shabbos. On the same day the baby came out, they did the Bris Milah. So this was Shmuel's idea. And then the Gemara shows that it's against the Beferish and Mishnah, so the Gemara has it to Yufta. This is Tom, an interesting idea. The Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchas Mamrim that the Bezen HaGodol or the Amudi HaHairoa, and they are the transmitters of the Torah Shabbat Peh from generation to generation, and whatever they pass can you have to follow. And the Bezen in every generation is entitled to express their opinion on all halachas, even in disagreement with earlier about the dinim who are greater b'chochma v'minyan. The klal that appears in the Mishnah is Ein Bezen Yochel Levat Al Divi Bezen Chadeiro. A later Bezen cannot disagree with an earlier Bezen unless the later Bezen is greater B'chochma V'minyan. So the Rambam quotes from the Yerushalmi. This is not unique to the Rambam. Tosfos and Rosh Hashanah Daf Tes also quotes the Yerushalmi. And all the Rishonim on the opening Mishnah and Shviyas quote this Yerushalmi. The only time there's such a din applies that Ein Bezen Yochel Levat Al Divi Bezen Chadeiro. And then can go to the man of the minion only if the second bezdin is greater b'chochma, they have bigger talmid chachamim. Who b'minyan, there are two pshat. The minion means the number of rabbanim who voted along, or the age of the rabbanim. They're older than the original ones. So that's only if the earlier bezdin made a rabbinic enactment, they made a din de rabbanon. The later bezdin wants to repeal a din de rabbanon. So then the halacha requires gadol b'chochma b'minyan. But if you're talking about how to interpret, how to establish what is the din d'oraisa, the earlier bezin read the pasuk one way, and the later bezin reads the pasuk differently. You read in between the lines, klal aprat the klal, or you have an additional level of interpretation on the pasuk. The various oifanim, the various midrash haTorah nidrashes bam, how the Torah Shebaal Peh succeeds in reading in between the lines. It gets all of the details of the halacha. So this is Ein L'chol HaShofet Sheb Yamecha. The Bezdin in every generation is entitled to their opinion. Each Bezdin has a right to disagree with any earlier Bezdin. So the case of Mishnah on the side of the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchas Mamrim is bothered with the Kasha that the Gemara, like over here, the Gemara quotes an Amayra, said it in, Shmuel said it in. And then they say, since it's against all the Mishnahs and all the Brises, we don't pass Kanak Shmuel, because it's against all the Mishnahs and all the Brises. But Shmuel was a Talmid Chacham, so if he's entitled to his opinion, he's entitled to disagree with all the Tanoim and Amoraim as well. So that's what the Kesem Mishnah says. Enachinami, there is no halacha that an Amora cannot disagree with the Tanoim. The difference between the Tan and Amora is a historical difference, not a difference al pi halacha. Historically, up until the Tkufa Rabbi Yudah Nasi, they were all called Tanoim. Rabbi Yudah Nasi is the one who edited the Mishnayis. They were the most Achrayim assume that even after Rabbi Yudah Nasi edited the Mishnayis, they were still being recited by the Peh. Rabbi Yudah Nasi didn't write down the Mishnah. That's how most Achrayim assume, and most history books assume. The Mishnayis were not written down because there was a Din Torah Shebal Peh. You're not supposed to write down the Torah Shebal Peh. So they never wrote down all the dinim. So in the days of Ravina Ravashi, that's when they wrote down the Mishnayis. Rabbi Ranasi edited the Mishnayis, but they were still being recited Baal Peh. And then Ravina Ravashi edited the Talmud Bavli, but again, the Talmud Bavli was not written down until way later, in the days of the Gaonim. They have the correspondence between the different Gaonim. There was a big machlokes in the Tkufas HaGaonim whether they should write down the Talmud Bavli. So many were of the opinion, no, there's no need to write it down. We'll transmit everything from memory. It's a mazel that they didn't rely on that. Who can remember the whole Talmud Bavli? We have it printed, we don't remember it. How can you remember the whole Talmud Bavli Baal Peh? So those who insisted on writing it down, they won. And they wrote down the Talmud Bavli. It's a mazel that they wrote it down. Otherwise, everything would have been forgotten. That's why every so often you have in the Gemara, the Gemara quotes a din. We're not sure whether Ravina said it or Ravashi said it. What do you mean you're not sure? If Ravina and Ravashi are the ones who were writing the Talmud Bavli, they didn't know who said it. The answer is they didn't write it down. They were the ones who misadded the Talmud Bavli, but it wasn't written down until way later. So, Kol Zman, the Gemara talks about Sifra Shalodim Harishon. The Pasuk says in Parshas Bereshit, Zeh Sefer Toldos Adam. So the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, in the first parak in Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says, what does it mean? The Chamish Shulchan Shel Torah are a history book of mankind. Zeh Sefer Toldos Adam. If it's a history book of mankind, it's very poorly written. The Gemara has a klal, Ein Mukdama Mucha BaTorah. The things are not presented in a chronological order. So what kind of, it doesn't seem to be the Chumash, doesn't seem to be a history book of mankind. So the Gemara says, no, Zeh Sefer Toldos Adam means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Adam HaRishon, Dor Dor B'Dorsha, Dor Dor B'Chachamav, Dor Dor B'Sefra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a miracle that he created the world Yesh Me'ayin, and he had a tachlis in the creation of the world. We still don't understand what the tachlis was. The whole world is full of war and full of machlokes and people killing each other and at each other's throats and so on. It's terrible. We don't understand what the Rabban Shalom gained by creating this world. But we assume that when Mashiach will come, that'll be a tikkun for the whole world. Then it'll make sense. That's what we daven on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the day that commemorates the creation of Adam HaRishon. What is it, Rosh Hashanah? What do you mean? Zikron Yom, which Yom Rishon? Rosh Hashanah was the sixth day of Sheshes Mei Bereishis. That was the Friday of Sheshes Mei HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam HaRishon. Everything before Adam HaRishon is prehistoric. There was nobody there to see it. And after Adam HaRishon was created, he was created on Rosh Hashanah. Echad B'Tishrei was one Adam HaRishon was created. So, Seh Sefer Toldos Adam means HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Adam HaRishon that he is going to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be leading the world towards its goal from behind the scenes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will sometimes suspend people's Bechira Chavshis to see to it that the halacha should develop in a certain way, history should develop in a certain way, Jewish history, world history should develop in a certain way to lead to the goal of Malchius. So the Gemara says, the Gemara has an Agadah Tembov Metziah around Daf Pehei, Daf Pehvov, that Rabbi Shmuel both lived in Eretz Yisrael and they decided they wanted to move to Bavel in order to establish the Shivas. As great as the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is, they felt that it's more important to provide the people in Bavel with rabbinic leadership They have to establish yeshivas. And the Gemara says in Gittin, the beginning of Gittin, Chiyosa Rav la Bubble, after Rav came to Bubble, Rav and Shmuel, each one made a yeshiva in two different cities, then the level of learning was so much elevated in Bubble. So a lot of the dinim changed. A lot of the dinim before the days of Rav and Shmuel were based on the assumption that the Hamayinam were Geferlecha Hamaratzim. And they raised the level of religious observance because the people were religious. They just didn't know the dinim. So Rav and Shmuel succeeded in changing the level of religious observance by teaching a lot of Torah. So the Gemara says, before they both left the Bavel, so they wanted to get smicha. Once you leave Eretz Yisrael, you can't get smicha. Smicha has to be conferred in Eretz Yisrael. So Rav went to Rabbi Yudanos and he got smicha. His real name was Abba. We call him Rav because he got smicha. And Shmuel tried a few times to get smicha, and every time something else came up. And then the boat was leaving. So he had to leave and never got smicha. So Rabbi Yudanos felt very bad about it. Why due to unforeseen circumstances, he wasn't able technically to give smicha to Shmuel. So somebody told Rabbi Yudanos, don't feel bad about it. I saw the Sefer Shalom Demarishim, and there's a line there that there are going to be two Rabbanim in this generation, Rabbi Shmuel. Rav is going to get smicha, and Shmuel will not get smicha. That was part of the Rabban Shmuel's plan. Sheshes May Breshes said, don't feel bad about it. What else does it say in Sefer Shalom Demarishim? So there's a line there that the Gemara quotes in Bob Metzia, not Daf, on Daf Pevav. Ravina Ravashi Soifai Ruah. That's the end of the Tkufa Paskening Shilas. What do you mean, the end of the Tkufa? The Rabbanim Tereid Paskening Shilas. The Rabbanim in the days, Ravina Ravashi, with the end of the Amoraim. There was the Tkufa Sagrainim and the Tkufa Sarishainim and the Tkufa Sachrainim. How can you say that Ravina Ravashi has Soifai Ruah? So in Shulchan Aruch, the Rama says like this. Achreinim in Choshim Mishpat Simon Chafei. Rama writes, Achreinim have a right to disagree with Rishonim, have a right to disagree with the Goinim. If they're fully convinced that the Goinim made a mistake, so you're running a risk, you may be making a mistake. You may be the Goinim are right. The Rama recommends you better consult your contemporaries and bring them your rayas. But if they think that you're right, then the Goinim are wrong. Then Adarab, you have to pasken the way you think the din is. So what if there's a Gemara? And I think that the Gemara is a doichek. I want to get my own psak. So the Ramah says, no. Whatever is oizke pasken to the Talmud Bavli, you can't disagree with, because that's what the Gemara said. It says in Sifra Shalat Marishim, Ravina Rabashi, Soifai Roa. That's the end of the Tkufa of the Torah Shabbal Peh Bishle Musa. Because until the days of Ravina Rabashi, the Torah Shabbal Peh was still being transmitted by Peh. Rabbi Yudanasi edited the Mishnayis, but they were still reciting Mishnayis Baal Peh. They still didn't learn it mitoch haksav. During the lifetime of Ravina Ravashi, that's when they wrote down all the Mishnayis. They didn't write down the Talmud Bavli till years later in the days of the Goinim. But at least they wrote down the Mishnayis then. So then a lot of the learning, they were learning like we learn today. They had a text in front of them. They were reading the Mishnayis and interpreting it and commenting on it. So since the learning was done mitoch hasvarim, it's also a masorah, but it's a lower level of masorah. So Achrenim have a right to disagree with Rishonim, and Amoraim have a right to disagree with Tanaim, but whoever comes after the generation of Ravina Ravashi has the right to disagree with those who preceded Ravina Ravashi. The Maskonas are Bavli. Is Ravina Ravashi Sofei Roa? Why don't they have the right to disagree? Because those after Ravina Ravashi are Alpidin on a lower level of masorah. From the days of Yishuv and Nun till the days of Rabbi Ravashi, Alpidin, everybody was on the same level of Masorah. Masorah was stronger, Mitzvah was stronger in the days of Yishuv and Nun. He spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu directly. But Alpidin, Rabbi Ravashi had the same status as Yishuv and Nun. They were all Chachmei Masorah, in the same sense that their Masorah was transmitted to them. Torah Shabbat Peh was transmitted by Peh. But those who came after Rabbi Ravashi have the right to disagree with the Maskonas Hagemara with the Maskana Rabbi Ravashi, because up until Rabbi Ravashi was the stronger Masorah of the Torah Shabbat. The Psak Halacha, the Hairoa, the Koyach Hairoa, is given to the Chachmei HaMasorah. The Chachmei HaMasorah means those who carry on the tradition of the Torah Shabbat. So the Gemara Mishnah poses this question in the beginning of Hilchas Marmim on the Rambam. The Rambam writes that the Beis Din in every generation has the right to express their opinion, even in disagreement with an earlier Beis Din, which with the earlier Beis Din is greater b'chokhmah of the minyan. The only time we have this restriction, ain't Beis Din yochel levatel, the Beis Din chavem kagla men b'chokhmah of the minyan. So if they want to repeal a rabbinic enactment that was introduced by an earlier Beis Din, so then they have to be greater b'chokhmah of the minyan. But the argument about how to read the psukim, how to interpret the psukim, the Torah Shabbat Peh, everyone is on the same level. Everyone has a right to disagree. The Hakan the Gemara said the Kas Mishnah is Hakan the Gemara make a diyufta against an Amora just because all the Tanaim say not so, but the Amoraim have a right to disagree with the Tanaim. So the Kas Mishnah answers Zenachinami. The Amoraim had the right to disagree, but they had an attitude that if there was a machlokes in the days of the Tanaim, and the majority opinion was accepted, the consensus was one way, so then they felt they have the right to reverse the psak. If they think the minority opinion was more correct, so they have a right to reverse it. But if they're going to ascertain that all the Tanaim said in one direction, nobody said prakeret, then they had the attitude that if they can see both tzadim, once in a while you have a gemara with the Amoraim, disagree with the Tanaim, and no Tanaim say like that. They have a right to disagree, but Ruba de Ruba, most of the time, the Gemara will consider it a tiyufta. If an Amor is said a din, and all the Tanaim say fakered, so we consider that a tiyufta. Why is it obgefrekt? Why is it a tiyufta? Because the Amoraim had the attitude, if all the Tanaim said one way, even if they think the other way is more correct, they would give in to all the Tanaim. But if they're fully convinced that it's absolutely wrong, they can't give in. They have to disagree. That's what they quote Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, learned by Rab Chaim for a while. So yes, Rab Chaim, the following kasha. The Gemara has a klal. Rabbi Rab Yechanan, halachik Rab Yechanan. There was a machlekes Rabbi Rab Yechanan. We pass on like Rab Yechanan, same thing, Rab Yechanan, Reish Lakish. With Ruba de Ruba, we pass on like Rab Yechanan. The Gemara just has three cases, but we pass on like Reish Lakish. So whenever Rab Yechanan disagrees with one of his contemporaries, Shmuel Rabbi Yechon, Allah Rabbi Yechon. Whenever he disagrees with a contemporary of his, he always passes like Rabbi Yechon, except for Rabbi Shuv ben Levi. That's the Gemara Tosis points out in the end of Megillah. Gemara has the machlokes, Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Shuv ben Levi, which has a higher level of Kedusha, the Beis HaMedrash or the Beis HaKnesses. The Ma'anaf Kamina, you want to convert the yeshiva into a shul, you want to convert the shul into a yeshiva. So we have a rule, Malam HaKodesh V'lo Marit. So which way are you permitted to convert and which way are you not permitted? So it's a machlek, Rab Yechanan and Rabbi Shuv ben Levi. Rab Yechanan holds that the Beis HaKnesses has a higher level of Kedusha than the Beis HaMedrash, and Rabbi Shuv ben Levi holds Faker, the Beis HaMedrash has a higher level of Kedusha than the Beis HaKnesses. And then the Gemara assumes that Dava Poshet, that the din is like Rabbi Shuv ben Levi. So Tosis in a few places raises the issue, why did the Gemara assume that din is Rabbi Shuv ben Levi? Machlek, Rab Yechanan and Rabbi Shuv ben Levi. So they say, see from that Gemara that that's a double pashut. The Rabbi Yochanan against Rabbi Shuv ben Levi, we pass on like Rabbi Shuv ben Levi. We pass on like Rabbi Shuv ben Levi. So there is a Tosfos in the beginning of Ksubis, the sugi of Sheva Brachos, and the more text, how many days do you celebrate Shivas Yemei Mishteh? Sometimes 3 days, sometimes 1 day, sometimes 7 days, it says Sheva Brachos. So the Gemara there has. The Gemara there has a machlokes. Rav disagrees with all the Tanoim. So the Gemara says, even though Rav is an Amor, Rav Tanu Hu Pali. Rav felt he had a din of a Tani, has a right to disagree with the Tanoim. So Tosis points out over there on that Gemara that from the Hemshech HaGemara would appear in the very beginning of Ksuvah, Dav Zayin also, would appear that Rabbi Yechanan disagreed with Rav. Rabbi Yechanan held that Rav did not have the right to disagree with the Tanoim. Rav held about himself, Rav Tanahu Pali has a right to disagree with the other Tanoim, the earlier Tanoim. Rabbi Yechanan held down so. So Rabbi Chana Basman asked of Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik, we have a klal in the Gemara, whenever this machlek is Rabbi Yechanan, alochik Rabbi Yechanan. So if Rav holds, Rav Tanahu Pali has a right to disagree with all the Tanoim, but Rabbi Yechanan holds that Rav did not have the right to disagree, that Rav was not a Tanahu Palik. So why do we always paskan whenever the Gemara says Rav Tanahu Palik, Rav disagrees with all Tanoim, we consistently paskan like Rav when he disagrees with all the Tanoim. So that's what Rabbi Chanan asked Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik the Kasha. But if Tosfos shows from the Gemara in the first Perek in Ksubos, the Rabbi Yechanan holds Rav did not have the right to disagree. And Rabbi Yechanan, so we should never paskan like Rabbi Yechanan when he disagrees. We should never paskan like Rav when he disagrees with the Tanoim. How come we always accept his opinion? Whenever the Gemara says Rav Tanu Pal, we always paskan like Rav. That's what he asked Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik. Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik answered, so Zayn that Rav is an Amora, and Amora has a right to disagree with the Tana. That's what the Kesef Mishnah said at the beginning of Hilchas Mamrim. It was just an attitude that the Amoraim had. They're not going to take on all the Tanoim. If they saw there was a Machloikis in the days of the Tanoim, even if the consensus was one way, then they would feel free to reverse the consensus in the days of the Amoraim. But if they looked and they investigated, they see that no one said their tzad. They can see the cool of them, they can see both sides, but they think one side is more correct. But then they investigate, they see in the days of the Tanoim, nobody said like them. Everybody said, Fakeret. Then the Amoraim had the attitude, we're not going to take on all the Tanoim, we'll leave the Psak the way it was. So that's what Rab Chaim explained. Even if Rab is an Amora, he's still Alpidin, he has the right to disagree with the Tanoim. And you have a few cases like that. The Malchamas and the end of Baba Kama has a few cases on the Gemara where Amoraim disagree with the Tanoim, and there are no Tanoim who say like that. And we pass like the Amoraim, because there is no such din, and Amora has no right to disagree with the Tana. Tanoim and Amoraim al pidin, from the days of Bishur ben Nun until the days of Rabbi Ravashi, everybody has the same status as Chachmei HaMasor. Some are stronger than others. Yeshua ben Nun heard directly from Moshe Rabbeinu. So it's very risky if you're going to start arguing with Yeshua ben Nun. Maybe heard it directly from Moshe Rabbeinu. But all the Talmid Chacham come after the days of Rabbi Ravashi, the Rishonim and Achrayim, they're al pidin all the same level. So Achrayim have a right to disagree with Rishonim, have a right to disagree with the Gaonim, because they're all on the same level of Chachmei HaMasor. So that's why you have, often like that, you have a Tiyufta. You have a Tiyufta against an Amor, because all the Tanaim say, if I can. So that's the Gemara and then involved on the days. The Gemara speaks about, the Gemara quotes a din in the beginning of Parshas Tazria. If a woman gives birth to a baby, if it was a leda, if she has a miscarriage before the 40 days, that is my the Alma, it's not called a leda. But if she already was carrying the child for a little more than 40 days, and there was already a tzuras havlad was leak around the 44th day or so around then, and then she's mapel, then she has a miscarriage, so she's mukhif to bring the korban yoledes, even though the baby was born, stillborn. The baby was born in Eifel, she's mukhif to bring the korban yoledes, and she has the days of Yimei Tumah, Yimei Taharah. If it was a Zohar, then there are 7 Yimei Tumah, 33 days of Yimei Tohar. And if it's an Akeva, then it's 14 days of Yimei Tumah and 66 days of Yimei Tahar. So these dinim only apply that you're mechuyev to bring a korban yoledes and you have Yimei Tumah, you have Yimei Tahar. Only applies if the woman who gave birth to the baby was Jewish at the time she gave birth. What if she was a Nochris and she was in the process of converting? And then a day after the baby was born, the woman converts. But when she gave birth to the baby, she was an ochre, so this dinim don't apply. She's not obligated to bring the korban yoledes, and she doesn't have the dinim of Yimei Tumah ve'Yimei Tahar. She has dam coming out, dam in amaka, so she'll have a din of anita. Okay. So the Gemara says, well, a far-fetched case, never going to happen in a million years. The woman, the non-Jewish woman who's pregnant, is highly pregnant. She's already in the middle of the 9th month or more than that, and the baby is on its way to come out. The baby is already starting to push his way out of the rechem. So the Gemara says, if the Gioris is Toivel in the mikveh then, so if it was Yotze Rosho before she was Toivel in the mikveh, then the Leidah, Yotze Rosho is called Leidah. Then the Leidah occurred when she was a Nochris, so she doesn't have the Chiv to bring the carbon. And nor does she have the dinam of Yimei Tumah Veitara. But if she was toivel in the mikveh prior to Yotzer Rosho, so then it was before the Leda. So the Leda occurred after she was already Jewish, Then you have all the din. So that's what the Gemara says. Then the Gemara quotes that din. Then the Gemara says, what's the definition of Yotzer Rosh? You need the whole head should come out. Gemara says, no. Usually, this part of the head comes out first, where the hair starts to develop, where the circle begins over there. That part comes out first. So the Gemara says, Yotzer HaPadachas, even though the bottom part of the head didn't come out yet. If Yotzer HaPadachas, the forehead came out, that's what usually comes first. It's already considered later. And you don't even need the whole Padachas. If Rav HaPadachas came out from the Rechem, that's already considered later. So then there's a Machlokes in the Gemara. What about with respect to Bechor getting Pishnayim? Let's say the woman has twin boys. The woman has twin boys. So one of them came out first, Yotzer Rav HaPadachas, and then he went back in. Then the body pulled him back in, and then the other son, the other baby boy came out first. Who has the din of Bechor with respect to Pishnayim? So the pasuk says, "Ki sapchor ben asnoi yakir loses lo pishnayim." So yakir means the father recognizes the baby. If it's only yotzer rov hapadachas, you can't recognize. You don't know what the baby looks like. You just see a forehead. So one opinion was in the Gemara that when you get to pishnayim, you have to have yotzer kolarosh, because otherwise it's a lack of yakir. The bechor, the firstborn male, only has a din of pishnayim. If he was Yotzer Rosho in a way that you can recognize who he is. And we don't accept that opinion. We say that doesn't mean Yaka, you should have facial recognition. If it was born first, if Rov HaPadachas came out, that's considered later. So that's the first baby and he gets Pishnayim. So then the Gemara considers it a kasha. How come over here, Benegea to Hakare, as HaPorah ben Asnoa, Yakir, despite the fact that it says Yakir, we say there is a HaKorah. Yotzer Rov HaPadachas is called HaKorah, it is called Yakir. So how come there's a din of Heter Agunas? If a woman is married and the husband is missing, then you find a male dead body floating in the someone was murdered in the forest. And you want to identify, is that her husband? Just because he's a male, you have to check to see if he has bris milah. Just because he has bris milah, he's a male, so maybe it's not her husband. So you have different simonim, different ways to identify. Let's say the husband had six fingers on his right hand. How many people have six fingers on the right hand? One out of a million. Or let's say he has two noses or he has three eyes. That's echad mini elef. That's one out of, less than echad mini elef. So that's called the Siman Muvik. So if you identify the mace based on the Siman Muvik, six fingers on the right hand, or he has three eyes or two noses, so that we assume that's the husband. What if it's only a Siman Beinoni? So that's not good enough. You have to have a Siman Muvik. If you have two Siman Beinoniim, that adds up, that's considered a Siman Muvik. If you have a Siman Garua, let's say the husband was tall and thin and he wore glasses. So half the people in the world are tall, half the people are short, half the people are thin, half the people are heavy, half the people wear glasses, half the people don't wear glasses. So you say he's tall and thin and he wears glasses and he wears the vest. He wears a three-piece suit and you found a dead body with the vest. He had a bris milah. All the Jews have a bris milah. So the Shulchan Aruch says you can add up as many simanim gruim as you want. That doesn't add up to anything. Simen garua, the three levels of simanim, simen muvet, Siman Beinoni, Siman Garua. So to identify who the mace is, you have to have either Siman Muvik, or if you have two or more Simanim Beinonim, that's considered a Siman Muvik. What if, however, you have three Asayin? Has no Simanim. There's nothing unique about him, but I know what he looked like, and I see the body. So if you have Hakara, if you have three Asayin, what the person looks like, so then you can identify this as the woman's husband. And Yamata the Aguna. There, Adinim, what if the person is already dead 3 days or longer? Then the body is already going to change, the face is going to be distorted, and then you can't identify the mace just by Tviya Sayin, unless he was in the river or in the ocean. So then the body will not change. But then you have to identify him right after they pulled him out of the ocean. Sometimes there's someone from down the block, his son, here in Bennett Avenue, where I live. So his his son-in-law drowned. Son-in-law was in Chinuch in the south, and he went in the summertime on vacation. He drowned Nebuch in a river, and then they were looking for weeks till they finally got a body. So the body was in the water the whole time. But then when they take it out of the water, even though it's more than 3 days after he died, you assume the body, the facial features, they're not changed. But then you have to have someone identify the body right away. Then you don't say you have another 3 days after you pull them out of the water. So they had to have people there. Mamish, when the Coast Guard pulled the body out of the river. So the Gemara says, in order to identify the Tvi Asayin, you have to have the whole face. So the Gemara asks, how come by here, by Pchor, getting Pishtam, it says, Pchor ben Asnoi Yakir, and we say, we paskin like the opinion, Yakir, you don't need that the whole face came out first. Only Rova Padachas came out. The Rova of the forehead came out. That's called Yakir, even though you can't see what the face looks like. How come by identifying the dead body to be Mata the Agunas, how come over there you need Hakara? So the Gemara says, well, by Agunas it's a serious issue. You're talking about Pishnaim is just $1,000 here, $1,000 there, half $1 million, it's just money. But if you're talking about Heter Agunas is a Shaila from Eshus Ishas Insa. Because it's so serious, that's why they threw in a Chumrah. They were Machmer. The Gemara said, what do you mean they were Machmer? The other rabbi, they were Mekel. They were Mekel. Then you should really require, you should have required two Eidim to identify, to know that the husband is dead. So the Chachamim were Mekel that Eid Echod is acceptable. It really should have been a Dovish of the Yerva, to say that if the woman is permitted to remarry, that she's no longer an Eshesish, should be considered Dovish of the Yerva. So with the Rabbanu, they were Mekel, what right they had to be Mekel? So we spent some time learning the Gemaras and Yevamos. How do they have the right to be Mekel? That's a major discussion. So the Gemara says that we're Mekel, and that's why even Eid Mipi Eid is good, and even Kroivim, and even Noshim, and even Anochri, Mesiach Lefitumai, on the level of their eyes, you have to have two kosher Eidim. None of this is acceptable. So don't you see, Fakir, that you're Machmi, you're not Mekel? The Gemara says, yeah. You're Mekel, that Eid Echad is good. And the Mele, once Eid Echad is good, Eid Mipi Eid is good. Mele, even Anochri, Mesiach Lefitumai is also good. These are all coolers. But how much of the body he has to see to have a Tvi Asayin? Mar says, no, that you need, he should see the whole face. In order to have a Tvi Asayin on the person, you have to see the whole face. So the Mar says, Zinishkin Kasha, Hakam Bayas Abchor Ben Asnoi Yakir, it doesn't mean Hakor on the whole face. And over here, by Meis Baila, to be Mata the Aguna, to remarry, they have to see the whole face with the Chaitan. The whole face. So it's Zinishkin Kasha. That's right. Then the Gemara in the top of Mem Zayin Amud Aleph Itmar has a famous machlokes Rav Yechanan Reish Lakish in two different cases. We have a din, the background, we have to first give a background, and then we're going to figure out whether this case fits into the regular din or is this an exception to the rule. So usually we have a din that Gersh and Izgayer could cut in Shanel Adami. What does that mean? So the Gemara has it in three different areas, we say. Let's say Mr. Trump is a wealthy man. He should live on for many years and do good deeds. But after he dies, the question is whether his daughter will yarshim him. So the daughter converted. So she's no longer related to the father. So the Gemara says, Men HaTorah, the ger does not yarshim the father. Or if the father would be the ger, the son who's the nochri doesn't yarshim the father. Because gershon has got kot m'shanel adami. He's not related to his previous relatives. The Gemara says, but the Rabbanon, they decided they better change the din because the ger may decide, I want to convert back to Christianity in order to get all that money. The reason I'm losing the millions of dollars, my father was a Nochri, and I converted, so because of my Jewish status, that's why I don't get the Yush. Maybe I'll convert back to Christianity. I will not get the Yush. It shouldn't help anyway. But the Gemara says the Chacham were afraid that the ger should be chazer l'suro. So they made a takana with the Rabbanon that the ger should his guy, despite the fact that in the Torah he shouldn't get the Yerusha, with the Rabbanon he gets the Yerusha. Kedei shalo yachzer l'suro. So that's one example of the applying the rule of ger should his guy cut in shenel tam. What's another example? The Gemara says in the Torah a brother and a sister are not permitted to marry each other. But if they both converted, they were both non-Jewish, they both converted, it's not a brother al-Pidin, genetically they're brother and sister, but al pidin they're not related anymore, so they're permitted to marry men of Torah. Mid the Rabbanan, Taisus shows from the Gemara, there are two reasons why mid the Rabbanan they're not allowed to marry, and whenever both reasons don't apply, then we permit them to marry. But usually either one reason or the other will apply. So it applies to Arayas, Gershon has got Katan Shanala Dami, that there's no Iser Minatari, there's no Iser Arayas, it's only with the Rabban. And the third case is Benegat to Psule Edis, two brothers are not Kosher Lahoid together, or one brother cannot be made for or against his brother. The Pesach means he can't give the death penalty based on testimony of the children. Can't put the father or the uncle through punishment based on testimony of the children or the nephews and so on. So the din is, and even with the Rabbanan, if two brothers converted, they're kosher lahoid together, or kosher lahoid one for or against the other. They're not considered brothers anymore. They never even changed the din with the Rabbanan. Because I've got to say, this is always going to be Bifnei Bezin, and Bezin will know the din. They're not going to make a mistake. So there are three areas where we apply the rule of Gershon, Hizgat, and Kotten, Shanel, Dami. All three are cases where you're talking about Kurva. Are the people related? The children get a Yerusha, or the closest relative gets a Yerusha. But if somebody converted, then we're not related anymore. Al-Pidin, genetically we are related, but Al-Pi-Alocha, we're not related. Arayas depends on Kurva. I'm not allowed to marry my aunt, not allowed to live with my sister, my daughter-in-law, my mother, all these things, my stepmother, my father's wife. So all of these relatives, Gershon is Kalkan Shon Adam, is not related. And then again, to Psuliatis. So the din of Kalkan Shon Adam and Alpi Pashtis only applies, it doesn't mean we wipe off the whole past, it just means that whoever was related to this individual, they're no longer considered relatives. In Shulchan Aruch, the very last page in Eben Hazar, I don't think it's the last sif, I think it's next to the last sif in Shulchan Aruch, they have the following story from the days of the Balei HaTosfos, when they had the Crusaders marching through Europe. So the Crusaders wanted to liberate Yerushalayim, all the Shem Shamayim, but on their way they were raping a lot of women, a lot of Jewish women. Sometimes they would kill the Jewish people because they refused to convert. Crazy things going on during the days of the Crusaders. So in the days of the Balei HaTosfos, Tosfos discusses it in the beginning of Ksubas, in the middle of Saita, and Sanhedrin, they discuss it. There was a Maisu Shehoya, a woman during the Crusaders wanted to save her life, so she was Mezana with the Nochri. But she was an Esh Yisish, she was married to her husband. The Esh Yisish is Insa, as Asura Labal, Masura Laboyal. She has to get divorced from her husband. She's not allowed to remain with her husband. And she's not allowed to marry the man with whom she had the affair. So then what happened was, so the husband divorced her. Then what happened was that the crusader, the Nochri, converted. He decided the Jewish religion is beautiful. He decided to convert. So he wants to know, is he allowed to marry the woman? So the Pashtus says, Echel Abal v'Echel Aboil. He's not allowed to marry the woman. So some of the Rishonim, Rabbi Yechiel Paris came up with this Einfall. Gershon is got Kakot and Shinola Dami, so the whole past history is wiped off, and he's not considered the boil. The one who did the beer was a Ishacher, it was a different person. He's not the same person that he was before, and he's permitted to marry her. So in Shulchan Aruch, that's the Psak in Shulchan Aruch, but that's only one of the three reasons. The Rishonim gave three reasons for that Psak. Rabbi Natan gave a reason because since he was a Nochri at the time that he was Mezana with her, he's not called a boil. Because Bia Sakam Lav Shma Bia. Achidush Ad Rabbi Natan. Another Rishonim gave a different reason why the only time the boil becomes usur to live with the woman is if that's the only issa that you have. But here, at the time that he was the boil, he was a Nochri. So he couldn't marry her anyway. There was nothing to discuss. So the issa of the boil was never chal in the first place. So the Shulchan Aruch gives the Psak Aloche after the Nochri with whom she was Mezana converts, she's permitted to marry the Nochri. That's the Rabbi Natan said, she's permitted to marry the Nochri. But the Bi'ur Agro there at the end, the last page in Eben Ezra, the Bi'ur Agro quotes the three different reasons. So Rav Ben Yechiel mi Paris gave the reason that his Gersh and his Gagkot and Shinalatan. That's a very difficult explanation. Pashto says that Gersh and his Gagkot and Shinalatan does not mean that the whole past history is wiped off. Let's say the non-Jew owed money to someone else. He borrowed money from the bank. He owed money to someone else. Then he converts. So he doesn't have to pay the money. He's the same person that he was before. Kot Nishanol Adam means that he's not related to the Krovim that he had before. In the Gemara, you only have Gersh and his Gal Kot Nishanol Adam ben Eger to Arias. Is he related to his sister, to his mother, to his aunt? You have a ben Eger to Psulei Eidus. Are they still brothers, Psulei Eidus? You have a ben Eger to Yerusha. Are they Krovim or not? But there isn't. We don't really hold like that. Kot Nishanol Adam is he wipe off the whole past history of the person. He has a clean slate. As if he wasn't the Baal. That's a difficult opinion. The Meiri also quotes such an opinion, but we don't really assume like that. There is a din in Parshas Bo'i called Benecha Layochol Bo'i. Korban Pesach may only be eaten by Jewish people who haven't worshipped Avodah Zarah. If the Jew worshipped Avodah Zarah, called Benecha means Mish a non-Jew, you're not permitted to feed Korban Pesach to a non-Jew. But if you have a Jew who is over Avodah Zarah, Mishan is Taka Maisav, Lavim Shabbat Shamayim, you're not allowed to give him any Korban Pesach. So what if you had a Jew who is over Avodah Zarah, then he did Tshuva? Now he's no longer over Avodah Zarah. So Tosfos and Pesachim assumes a double portion. If he's no longer over Avodah Zarah, so he's no longer called a Ben Nechar, so he's allowed to eat the Korban Pesach. So the Meiri, so Tosfos has a certain kasha based on that assumption. So in order to answer the kasha, the Meiri quotes for the Chachme Hadorish Alufaneinu. We're not sure who that's supposed to be referring to. The Meiri doesn't quote in the Beis HaBchira. He does in the Chidush HaMeiri. A lot of times he'll quote Rishonim by name, but in the Beis HaBchira he doesn't quote anybody by name. He refers to Rashi as the Gedolei HaRabbanim, and the Rambam as the Gedolei HaMechabrim, and the Ravid as Gedolei HaMagim. Each one has a different nickname. So we're not sure who this is, the Gdol HaDor Shalfanein. But he quotes one of the Rishonim who disagreed with Tosfos. They hold, if a Jew worshipped Avodah Zarah for the rest of his life, even after he did Shuv 1,000 times over, he's not allowed to eat Korban Pesach, period. That was, they developed this sheet in order to answer a certain kasha that Tosfos has. They said, like Koinim Shishimshu Beis Chonyo. Beis Chonyo was a Beis HaMikdosh. That was in Alexandria. And the Tanaim weren't sure what was going on there. Were they makriv l'avodah zarah, or is it just shchutei chutz? Well, whatever it was, the Mishnah has a din, koinim shishim shebeis chanyo, whatever koin would be makriv karbonis in this imitation beis hamikdash that they had in Alexandria, even if he would do tshuva and he comes to Yerushalayim and he wants to be observant, he doesn't want to be makriv in Beis Chonyo anymore, we wouldn't permit him for the rest of his life. We wouldn't permit him to be makriv karbonis lo yishamshu b'migdash. So that's what the Meiri quotes that Mishnah. So just like Kohanim shishimshu b'Beis Chonyo lo yishamshu b'migdash, in Europe they had such an attitude that if somebody was a chazan in the Reform synagogue, and even though he's chozer b'tshuva, they wouldn't allow him to serve as a chazan in an Orthodox synagogue. Kohanim shishimshu b'Beis Chonyo. So the Meiri quotes such an opinion on the level of the Raisa. A Jew who ever worshipped Avodah Zarah during his lifetime is not allowed to eat Korban Pesach for the rest of his life. So the Meiri asked the Kasha, but the Pasuk says in Chumash that Gerim also participate in Korban Pesach. The Gerim probably worshipped Avodah Zarah before they converted. So how are they permitted to eat Korban Pesach? We say even if an Ovid Avodah Zarah does tshuva, he's still not allowed to eat Korban Pesach, according to this opinion. So how is the Ger permitted to eat Korban Pesach? So the Meiri says that must be based on Ger Shenizgah Kekot Nishanol Adam. So he's understanding Kekot Nishanol Adam in the way, the same that the Rabbi Nechil Paris understood, that the whole past history is wiped off. He's not considered the one who worshipped Avodah Zarah. It's a very difficult shot. We usually do not understand it like that. We usually assume that the din, Gershon is got cut in Shana Adam, it just means he's not related anymore to his genetic relatives, Alpidin, he's not related anymore. The Chasam Sofer, in his Sefer on Chidush Chasam Sofer and Avodah Zarah, raises the question, where in the world did the Tanoim get such a wild idea from? They figured it out, Mitzad HaSvara. Gershon has got Kanshanot HaHamzad HaSvara. Doesn't make any sense at all. How did they come up? Where is the Pasuk? The Chacham Sofer says, maybe you'll tell me, that it's based on the Pasuk in Chumash that talks about Gezel HaGer. Gezel HaGer is a din. If I stole from someone and I swore falsely that I don't owe him money, so then I have to pay him back Kerem B'chaymesh, and I have to bring Hashem Gzeles. And what happens if the Nignav passed away already, the one whom I stole from and I swore falsely that I don't owe him the money, what do I do if I die? So I give the Kerem B'chaymesh to his Yorshim, and then I have to bring Hashem Gzeles. What happens? Emein liyishkoi l'hashiv ha'ashem eilav, the Chumash says in Chumash Bamidbar, if the Nigzal died and he doesn't have any Yorshim, Ein liyish goyel, he doesn't have any Yorshim, l'hashiv ha'ashem eilav, to give the Kerem B'chaymesh to. So the Torah says that Gezel HaGer is one of the Chof Talad Matnas Kuhuna. The week that you go to the Beis HaMikdash, give it to the Anshe Mishmar, whichever Kohanim are the Anshe Mishmar, give the Kerem B'chaymesh to the Anshe Mishmar, that's one of the Chof Talad, one of the 24 Matnas Kuhuna, and then you'll be allowed to bring Hashem Gzeles. You're not allowed to bring the Hashem Gzeles before you pay the Kerem B'chaymesh. So you pay the Kerem B'chaymesh to the Kohanim, to the Anshe Mishmar, and then you're able to bring the Hashem Gzeles. So the Gemara comments on that pasuk. How is that possible that a Jewish person dies and he doesn't have a relative in the world? All right, he didn't get married, he doesn't have children yet, but he has no siblings. He has no cousins, he has no 10th cousins. Everybody has some relative or another. He may not have descendants, but you have cousins. It's impossible that any Jew in the world has relatives. Impossible that he has no relatives. So Gemara says, it must be that the Parshas took him at Gezel HaGer. Because a Gershon is vein lo Yoshim. He doesn't have any Yoshim because Gershon is got cut in Shanel Adar. So the Chacham Sofer raised the issue, where did the Tanaim get this wild idea to cut in Shanel Adar? So maybe they got it from that Parsha that it says, Mein Nishkoi lo Hashem Hashem Elam. So Chacham Sofer asked, but how did the Tanaim know that that's what it means? Maybe it just means the nigzal, I cheated someone and I swore falsely that I don't owe him a penny, and then the nigzal died, and we don't know whom he's related to. Ein liyish goyel doesn't mean he absolutely doesn't have a soul in the world to whom he's related. Maybe it just means we don't know whom he is related to. How do they come up with such a big chiddush cut in Shana Ledan? So that's the Chacham Sofer wonders where they get it from. So there are some Neach has a Sefer on Chumash. I remember once Rabbi Breuer. Rabbi Breuer was he was way up in his 90s when he told us this Dvar Torah. So he told us a new Sefer came out. He was an old man when a new Sefer came out. It's called the Meshech Chochma, he tells us. Have you seen it yet? The Sefer came out before we were born. But when he was born, the Sefer didn't exist yet. So it was a new Sefer in his mind. He was in his late 80s, his late 90s. He died at the age of 98. So he was in the high 90s. He said, a new Sefer came out, Meshech Chochma. He says, Hashem should forgive, he's talking in German, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should forgive the Or Sameach for writing such an incorrect thing. The Or Sameach writes in the Meshech Chochma in Chumash that right after Maimon HaSinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells everyone, Shuvah Lechem Liyohalech, everybody can go back to their wives. There was a din of prisha gimel yomim. The married people had to be purished min shoseihem because they weren't permitted to participate in the Maimon HaSinai if they'll be a balkeri or a paleta shichva zera. So all the married people had to be purished min shoseihem for 3 days and then go to mikvah, and then they were able to participate in Maimon HaSinai. Well, after Maimon HaSinai was over, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, "Vato shuvah, tell Bnei Yisrael shuvah lachem liyohalechem." This is a wish, the whole is a wish, that they can go back to their wives. So the man, but ato po amodi modi, but you have to stay here. Moshe Rabbeinu was pirish menuisha, and the Rebbe Shlomo was masking with him that he should be pirish menuisha, even after Maimon HaSinai was over. So the Meshech Chochma says, how can I tell everybody they can go back to their wives? Before Matan Torah, they were only prohibited to marry the list of arayas that applies to the Bnei Noach. After Maimon HaSinai, the list is longer. So So some of the people are not allowed to go back to their wives. How can now Kadosh Baruch Hu tell Moshe Rabbeinu to go tell Bnei Yisrael, Shuvu lechem v'yolechem, everybody can go back to their wives. So it must be, you see, that Gershon has got cut in Shadal Adami, so it wasn't his sister. If someone was married to his sister, to his aunt, whatever, they weren't related anymore. That's the marker of Gershon has got cut in Shadal Adami from the fact that the Rabbeinu Shalom said, Shuvu lechem v'yolechem. So Rabbi Breuer said, the Lashon Shora Le'Mari, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should forgive the Or Stamech for saying such a statement. If that were true, we lost our Yichus. We're no longer Lekeinu, Lekei Avosenu, Lekei Avraham, Lekei Yitzchak, Lekei Yankov. We're not related to Avraham, Yitzchak, Yankov anymore. Kukot Nishan Ol Adam and Har Sinai. So our connection is broken. We are biological descendants, but Al Pidin, you can't really say Lekei Avosenu. You can't call them Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak Avinu. We're not Al Pidin. We're not related to Avraham, Yitzchak, Yankov. So he said, you can't say it like that. There's a famous Maharal Prague and a Sefer Gur Aryeh commenting on a Rashi on Chumash on Shaul ben Akananis. So he says, Gershon is God cut in Shanol Adami applies to every Gerus except for Maimon HaSina. It didn't apply in Maimon HaSina. So that's what Breuer said. How can the Osamech say that in Maimon HaSina you apply Shuvu lechem v'yolechem, everyone can go back to their wives, because Gershon has got Kotten Shanol Adam and they're not related. Kotten Shanol Adam didn't apply at Har Sinai. So what is the Mokka? That's a Pella. What is the Mokka? So Rav Soloveitchik suggested, based on a Gemara with a Tosfos in the middle of Gittin, Rav Soloveitchik suggested, the Gemara has Psukim that ain't Kiddushim Tofsin between a Jew and a non-Jew. Let's say a non-Jewish man gives a ring to a Jewish girl and says, Hariat Mekudeshesli. A Jewish man gives a ring to a non-Jewish woman and says, Hariat Mekudeshesli. He wants to marry her. The Gemara learns out from Psukim that ain't Kiddushim Tofsin. But there is a Gemara there in Gittin, in the middle of Gittin, where the Gemara says, the same din that ain't Kiddushim Tofsin between a Jew and a Goy, what it means is that there can't be any yachas. The reason why ain't Kedushin Dobson, because there can't be any kurva between a Jew and a non-Jew. So therefore, let's say a Jewish man lives with a non-Jewish woman and they have children. So since the Jewish man is Jewish and the children are not Jewish, because the status of the children is determined by the mother is not Jewish, so the children are Goyim. So the father is not related to the children. It's based, the Gemara says, it's based on the same pasuk. Just like Ein Kiddushin Tofsin, so too the Vlad is not Misyaches Acharov. Every time Ein Kiddushin Tofsin, the Vlad is not Misyaches. Let's say I'll give a ring to my sister and I'll say, Hariyah Mukudeshesli, Ein Kiddushin Tofsin. But if I live with my sister and we have children, the child will be a mamzer, but it'll be my child. I'll be the father. There is Yachas. So it's not always told these evidence. So Taisa says, no, the Gemara puts the two together because whenever one is an Ak and one is the Yisrael, or one is an Ebed, Ebed has no Yachas. Ebed doesn't have any Yachas. So just like Ebed can't have Tfisis Kiddushin because he can't have any Yachas Kurva, so if the Ebed has children, there's no Yachas between the children and the father. So the same Anochri. Ein Kiddushin Tofsin by a Nochri or a Nochri. So if one of the spouses is a Jewish, one is a Nochri, there's no issues between. Why? Because there can't be any yachas between a Jew and a non-Jew. So if you have a brother and a sister and they both convert, they were both born non-Jewish. The first one converts. So for a while, one is Jewish, one is not Jewish. When one is Jewish, one is not Jewish, they're no longer related. You can't have a yichus between a Jew and a non-Jew. Then the second one converts a day later, or a year later, or 20 years later. But there was a period of time that they weren't related, because Kozman, one is Jewish, one is not Jewish. There is no kurva between the two. So then, even after the second one converts, but you can't become brother and sister at the age of 25. You have to be brother and sister at the time that you're born. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that pasuk, the pasuk that says, Ein Kiddushin Tofsin Benochris, or Nochris Yekidushish Ein Kiddushin Tofsin, that pasuk tells you that there can't be any yachas between a Jew and a non-Jew. So based on that, you can't have any yachas. And mele, if two non-Jews convert, when the first one converted, one was Jewish, one was not Jewish, there was no kurva. So even after the second one converts, the kurva can't be restored, can't come back esh me'ayin in the middle of their lives at the age of 26. You have to be kreivim from the day that you're born. That's what Rav Soloveitchik thought the makkah was. So here the Gemara is going to have a double machlekes starting from the top line. Amem zayin amen aleph. The Gemara is going to have a double machlekes between Rav Yechanan and Rish Lakish. A non-Jew was married and he had children, non-Jewish children. And then he converts. So I would have said, like Rish Lakish, Gersh and Agar Katan Shadar Ledomi, the non-Jew is no longer related to his children on the level of their Isa. So how can you say he Yotze Peri Berivu? Al-Pidin, they're not his children. Biologically, they are his children. But Al-Pidin, they're not his children. Or let's say the non-Jew had children before he converted. He was married, he had children. And then he converts, and he marries either the same wife or a different wife, whatever. He gets married, and then he has, the first child is a boy. Does the boy get Pishnayim? So if you say, Gershon has got caught in Shinola Dummy, he's not related, all those children that he had, Benoch Yuso, are not related to him. So this is the first child that he's having after he converts. And he marries a Jewish girl, or his wife converts along with him, so he marries his former wife. So the child that will have now, be Israel, when he's Jewish, the first child, that'll be the Bechor for Pishnayim. That's where Rish Lakish says, Gershon has got caught in Shinola Dummy, the whole past is wiped off. And surprise of surprise, we don't paskin like Rish Lakish, we paskin like Rabbi Yechanan. That the Ger is Yetzer Peri Revu with the children that he had from before, and you don't apply Kikot and Shinola Dummy here. And the children that he had before are related to him. Even though Kikot and Shinola Dummy, they're considered his, and therefore the next child will not get Pishnayim. The first boy that he has after he converts and he marries, the first child will not get Pishnayim because there are children older than him, even though you say Kikot and Shinola Dummy. So that's going to be a question. Why does Rabbi Yechanan disagree with Rish Lakish? I would have said like Rish Lakish, Kikot and Shinola Dummy. So all his children are not his. So that's what we have to work on. I have to attend a wedding tonight, so I'll abridge the shiur a little bit. I'll just make a brief comment on the pasuk at the end of Parshas Ki Savoy. The Gemara in Moed Katan, the third parak in Moed Katan, is parak Elam Egalchen, and it has all the laws of Avelis. It has laws of Chalamoid, but it's known it has all the laws of Avelis. And the days of the Balei Atos, days of the Rishayim, hardly anybody learned Perek Elam Egalchen, and hardly anybody learns Vachem Menachem. So the Sefer Hasidim writes that these Mesichtas, Vachem Menachem, Kotchim, Perek Elam Egalchen, about the Avelos, in a certain sense, it's like a Meis Mitzvah. So it's just because no one's learning them, like a Meis Mitzvah, no one's being the Tapal and the Gvurim. So it's a special Mitzvah to learn these Prokhim, because no one else is learning them. Chassam Sofer in his Chuvus writes that there was a minute that they never learned Elam Egalchen in the yeshivas because it's a Simen Ra. So Rav Soloveitchik used to give a shiur on Elam Egalchen in the yeshiva. So he said in Volozhin they never had that minute from Chassam Sofer. The rabbi, they felt that it's like a Meis Mitzvah, like the Sefer Chassidim says. So the Gemara has a suffix there. One is in Shiva, is not allowed to wear shoes. Nilas Hasandal is us. So what about one is in Nidui? If Bezdin put somebody in Nidui or Cherem, Cherem is a little more chomer than Nidui. There are three opinions, the Machlekes and the Rishayim. Are the two levels or three levels? Is Nidui, Cherem, and Shamta three different things? Are the two things, Nidui and Cherem? But whatever it is, Nidui is a curse that the Bezdin gives the person that he should drop dead. Cherem, the Gemara is also a curse, but it's even a more severe curse. Gemara says the word Cherem is the same letters as Ramach. It's a curse that we want to seep into the Ramach Ivorim, and the person should drop dead. So because in a certain sense he's a Gavri Ketila, because the Bezin put him in Cherem, they hope that he's going to, they hope and pray, they're cursing him, he should die. So he has to absorb Avelis on himself. Need the Cherem, one absorbs Avelis on himself. So Gemara has a Shaila, one is an Avelis, not allowed to wear shoes. What if one is a Nidui? He's also forbidden to wear shoes, but not all the dinam of Avelis carry over to Nidui, so the Gemara has a shayla. So on the bottom of the page, so the Gemara raises questions What do you mean? The Gemara discusses whether a menuda is also betashmish amita. The Gemara says, well, in the Midbar, the 40 years after the Chet Hamraglim, Bnei Yisrael were considered menuda lashamayim, and they were living together with their spouse, and they gave birth to children. So you see that a menuda is muta betashmish amita. So the Gemara says, maybe menuda lashamayim shayni the kill. Maybe menuda lebezdin is more chomer than menuda lashamayim. The Gemara is not sure. The Gemara is not sure. So the Gemara has a sophic. What about menudah? Is he allowed to wear shoes or not? So the Gemara says, take them. They don't know what the din is. So on the bottom of the Rosh, you have the Korban Nisan. Korban Nisan lest the Kasha. The Pasuk says at the end of today's Sedra that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of all the needs of the Jewish people. V'olacheskham ba'boim shonah ba'midbol ha'bolas ha'masech me'alech me'nalcho le'bolsa me'al v'aglecha. They were all wearing shoes when they went in the Midbar. The Pasuk says earlier in Chumash Dvarim, Raglecha lo batzeika, your feet didn't swell up, Rashi says, Kederach olche yochef, your feet didn't swell up when you were traveling in the Midbar for 40 years. Why not? Because they weren't olche yochef, because they were wearing shoes. That's why Raglecha lo batzeika, because it says, Nalcha lo balsam me'al raglecha. So you see from the Pasuk that they were wearing shoes. The Gemara should have proof in this Pasuk that you see that in Menuda, is permitted to wear shoes, and then it could have been matcha again. Maybe Nudal Bezin is Mohammed and Menudal Hashemai. But they should have raised the issue. That's a kasha that he asks. He doesn't have an answer. That's a stark kasha. The Gemara quotes other rais from the Aboyim Shana Bamiba. But it's an interesting aloha, the whole institution of Menuda and Muhram, because the Bezin curses him, he should die. So the Gemara has a din, the Mishnah has a din, the Mishnah is Menidui. If a person was put in Nidui and he died, the Bezin, he never did tshuva, and the Bezin must have a matan in Nidui. So they put a slab of stone on his aron to indicate that he really deserved skila. And the children don't observe avelus. It's like Haruge Bezin. We attribute his death. Let's say they put him in Nidui and 20 years later he dies. He died from old age. No. We attribute the death to the curse of the Bezin. And it's considered as if he's Haruge Bezin. And Haruge Bezin, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, Ba'avod Rishayim Rina. When the Rishayim die, the relatives are not supposed to observe Avelis, they're supposed to rejoice. Because we don't want to have Rishayim in the world. So it's an interesting idea. This whole institution of Menuda. In Muhram, the person is observing Avelis on himself because it's his fault that they had to make him into a Gabrik Thila. They had to give him a Klala, that he should die because of his Averis, and we treat him as if he's dead. So usually when a person dies, the Kreifim observe Avera. Here, he's the one who caused himself to get the curse, to make him, the Bezin had to curse him, to make him into a Gabrik Thila. So therefore he has to observe Averis on himself. It's an interesting thing. Okay, I apologize. I have to go to one of the Rebbe's Nishir is making a wedding tonight, and he asked me to please come after the Shir. So, Belineta, next week I will not be able to give this year Tuesday. I have a bar mitzvah of a grandson of mine. So we'll have to have that. And then Wednesday I'm giving a different shir. So, Belineta, next week the shir will be on Inyani Rosh Hashanah, but it'll be on Thursday night, the same website. Okay, should all be healthy. We'll see you next week. Thank you.
Thank you, Mazel Tov.